Today our scripture reading will be from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes and all that I get." But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted."
Thank Brother Andy for that reading from the 18th chapter of Luke. Now, here on Sunday mornings, I think you guys have caught on to my pattern of what I've been focusing on. This is a continuation of my series of lessons that are about lessons that we can learn from songs that are traditionally sung in Sunday school classes. Generally, I have been focusing on abstract or concepts like be careful, little eyes, what you see, you know, things like that, that are teaching children how they should live their lives, what they should be watching out for. But this morning, we're actually going to look at a song that's based upon a story. It's a story that is in the New Testament, and we're going to focus this morning on a wee little man, Zacchaeus. Now, the lyrics to the song, I honestly had to go listen to a recording of it because I wasn't quite sure how it went, so I'm not going to sing it. But the lyrics of the song are, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, 'Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today.'" And if I'm not mistaken, that "Zacchaeus, you come down," you kind of stopped singing and just kind of shouted that a little bit. So I think that's why kids like that song a little bit that way. But then the last verses are, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but a happy man was he. For he had seen the Lord that day, and a happy man was he, and a very happy man was he." So the story of Zacchaeus climbing a tree is fun to share with children. I think mostly it's because most of the people who are singing this song, most of the children who are singing this song, are wee little people themselves. So they can relate in some way regarding it. There's much more that we can learn, though, just about a story of a short guy hanging out in trees. So let's go ahead and let's look at some lessons that we as adults can relate to regarding this story. Now, if you're there in Luke chapter 18, where Andy just read for us, if you want to go over just the next chapter, chapter 19, the first 10 verses, this is where we will find the narrative of the story of Zacchaeus. "He entered Jericho," he being the Lord, "he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. One of the first things we learn about Zacchaeus here in this account in Luke chapter 19 was that he was a chief tax collector. He's not just a tax collector from what I was able to gather. Matthew, as we know, was a tax collector when Jesus met him. If anything, he would be the equivalent of Matthew's boss. He was a chief tax collector. And looking at some of the history that I was able to find about the social standing of tax collectors, let alone chief tax collectors in Jewish society, everyone would have considered them as thugs, especially the chief tax collectors. And as we've seen from different, even the passage that Andy read, they're not very well thought of within the Jewish community, and they were considered the worst of sinners. Many times prior to this, Jesus had been criticized by the Jewish leaders for associating and hanging out with sinners, and they consider tax collectors to, subhuman is the way, but that's really how they thought about it, that they had no redeeming value or quality to them. And so Jesus also, like the leaders had spoken about the tax collectors. In the example that Andy read for us, while it isn't necessarily a glowing endorsement of tax collectors, the tax collector was given a much more favorable reading in that situation than was the Pharisee. The Pharisee is made out to be less humble, less righteous than the tax collector was. His portrayal of the tax collector was that they were sinners in need of redemption and need of forgiveness. And they were capable of seeing that they did need that salvation. The tax collectors were able to reflect upon themselves, and if they needed it, Jesus was indicating that they would receive it. Jesus didn't treat them as being lesser than anyone else or as if they were just horrible people that had no quality about them. He taught them as being fellow children of Israel. As we know, at the end of the story that I just read, he mentions, you are a member of the family of Abraham. Jesus recognized that everyone has the ability to be redeemed. So we don't know if Zacchaeus was aware of what Jesus had been saying. Obviously we don't know the chapters and the time that may have passed between them just readily offhand. But he may or may not have been aware of the wording or the way in which Jesus was talking about tax collectors. If he was, that he was speaking not harshly but charitably about them, maybe that's why Zacchaeus wanted to go see him. Here's someone who's giving me a fair shake. Here's someone who's not going to necessarily just be negative towards me. And we also don't know if Zacchaeus knew that one of Jesus' inner circle, Matthew, was also a tax collector, and that maybe because of that relationship between Matthew and Jesus, he was interested. But the fact of the matter is, all we know is that he desired to see Jesus that day. Now, another thing we learn about Zacchaeus was that he was very, very rich. We also know from this title that this was the manner in which he became rich. Extortion, cheating, lying, that is how tax collectors became to have such a wonderful reputation within their community. According to Bible-history.com, I found this about them. Tax collectors were usually Jewish, and therefore they were hated by their own people. When they collected taxes for Rome, they would turn over the required amount of money, and whatever they could add on for themselves is what they kept. They were known to be extortioners of money. Because tax collectors worked with Rome, who were Gentiles in the eyes of the Jews, and hated for their domination, they were treated similarly to the worst kinds of sinners. So, if you think about how you may compare them to someone in our society today, it's not like we probably individually have much history or interaction with mob enforcers, but they're the people that are putting, their bosses are putting extortion in place where they're telling people that maybe own a business, if you don't pay us protection money, well, you'll need the protection, believe me. And in this case, if they didn't pay up, well, they had thugs that would go out and enforce their protection order. And so this is much like the way that Zacchaeus was, and that is how he became rich. And him being the boss of all of them was probably very, very rich. Then another thing that we learn about him is, of course, that he is very short. Now, we generally don't, we're not given appearances. What people look like, generally, we're not told what they look like. But when we are told about someone's appearance, it's usually for a reason. And some examples I could just think of off the top of my head was, Sarah was very beautiful, and Abraham lied, I think, on two different occasions about him being his sister so that he would not be killed for his wife. We're told that Joseph was very handsome, and that's why Potiphar's wife most likely wanted to seduce him, and that became an issue for him where he was then thrown into prison because he did not accept her advances. And then we're told that King Saul was very handsome, was very tall as well, you know, was heads and shoulders above most others, and people would be drawn to him. So all of those characteristics about their appearance would play into stories in their life. And so generally when we're told about an appearance, that is, there's a reason for it. So Zacchaeus being short in and of itself is really not an important part, but it does explain. It is given in this story to help us understand why he went about doing what he did. He really, 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 really wanted to see Jesus, but his short stature would not allow him to see him very easily, especially when there were crowds all around Jesus. We all want to see what's going on around us. How else do you explain when there's an accident on one side of the freeway and the other side going the other direction, whether north or south, going the opposite direction, where the accident is it, that sometimes there's an equal backup there because people want to stop and look at the accident. They want to be aware of what's going on around them. So one way that we do it today is maybe we'll check social media. A lot of times we'll get so involved in work in a project or something like that. I'll say to someone at work, boy, the earth could have stopped spinning today and I wouldn't know about it. I haven't seen a headline or know anything that's going on in the world. So what do you do? You go on and you check Twitter or wherever and you look and see what's going on to get caught up. So this is a setting as Jesus is walking through Jericho. It's why people were flocking around Jesus, and it's why Zacchaeus wanted to be able to see him. He wanted to get a look at who this person was that he had no doubt heard so much about. It wasn't every day that someone on the stature of Jesus came to Jericho, and he wanted to be able to see him. So he flocked around, and people flocked around him, and he was able to be able to see him. But he was short, and he wasn't very well respected. I don't think there were going to be many people who would be willing to step aside to let him get in front of them. This was a crowd that wanted to see Jesus as well. So he considered all his options, and his best option was, well, I'm just going to climb this tree and get up and be able to see him. I don't think he did this to draw attention to himself. He likely did it for the obvious reason. He knew that if he had any chance of being able to see Jesus, that was what he needed to do. But regardless of what his purpose was, we do know that one thing happened. We know that Jesus noticed him. It's not every day you see a grown man in a tree. Now, maybe those times you might, but here, today in our world, if you see someone in a tree, you kind of wonder about them. But Jesus saw him, and he called out to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. I really think we're not told if it happened, but I think it's kind of impressive that Zacchaeus didn't fall out of the tree, that Jesus looked at him and pointed him out and said, I'm going to come stay at your house today. Now, I know if that was said to me, my first thing is, oh, my house is a mess. I can't have anybody in. But Zacchaeus didn't turn down the opportunity to host Jesus. The language that Jesus uses actually means it's necessary for me to be in your home today. It must happen. It was an imperative. He needed to be able to see Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus just wanted to get an eyeful of Jesus. He just wanted to gaze upon him. And now here, he's going to be honored that Jesus not only was speaking to him, but that Jesus was going to come to his home. Zacchaeus was beside himself. He was very excited. Verse 6 says, "So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully into his home." There was a huge crowd by then, and everyone wanted attention. But today, Jesus wanted to spend time with this tax collector. Well, we're told that Jewish leaders weren't very happy about this. Verse 7 tells us, "And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Why would this so-called Messiah spend time with a guy like Zacchaeus? And even more importantly, why would he honor him by visiting his home and eating with him and spending time with him? They just were beside themselves. But Jesus had heard this criticism before. In Luke chapter 7, verse 34, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" So this charge had been levied at Jesus before. But that didn't let him stop him at any other occasion. In this case, he didn't let that stop him here. We're told he does go into Zacchaeus' house, and he does share a meal with him. And meals are important. It's a way for families to reconnect after, you know, a day of work, day of school, whatever the case may be. When you have friends that come in from out of town, do you just sit on the couches and stare at each other? Well, sometimes you do, but oftentimes you agree to meet at a restaurant. Meals are important in today's society and no different than it was back then. But this meal had quite a bit of an impact on Zacchaeus. It made a tremendous difference in his life. There's no record of what conversation actually took place between Zacchaeus and Jesus, but whatever was said, we can be convinced that Zacchaeus was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Lord. And Zacchaeus' life changed at that moment. Verse 8 says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.'" Now my accountant brain starts happening. We talked about numbers at Andy and Diane's last week. My numbers start rolling. "And if Zacchaeus gave half of my goods to the poor, and then anything he defrauded, he gave fourfold, he's probably not going to be left with much." So this was more than just a grand statement. If this is what he did, he was going to be forfeiting most of what he had financially in this world. This is very similar to the request that's found in Mark chapter 10 when Jesus was met by the rich young ruler. In this case, though, we know that Jesus specifically told the young man to sell all that he had and give to the poor and become, you know, faithful. This isn't, as far as we know, this isn't the case with Zacchaeus. We were told about it in Mark 10, but we're not told about it here. So I kind of think that this was an immediate, automatic, you know, impulsive response that Zacchaeus had about this. And so Zacchaeus had a lot of riches, but he was going to be giving it to others that he had defrauded and others that needed it. Equally as likely is that Zacchaeus decided to do this because he realized that his life needed to have a change. And to change, it meant he had to stop doing what he'd been doing, the defrauding, the evil that he had been doing. And he had a change of heart, and he realized he couldn't keep doing what he'd been doing and how he had been gathering it through extortion, through threats, whatever the case may be. So he made the decision to make the restitution to those that he had defrauded. The story then takes on a more personal value if we choose to view it as being a voluntary one, that he decided to do this on his own without having to be told. Now, as we kind of take the story of Zacchaeus and we look upon our lives, how we can apply it as a lesson, which is the whole point of learning something from these songs, we need to remember that above else, when we are considering our relationship with God and with the Savior, it's really the motive in our mindset that matters the most. It's just not the actions. A lot of people go through the actions. A lot of people will come and sit on the pew on Sunday mornings and want to be seen by others, and then they live their life the rest of the week the way they want. So Jesus had such an impact on Zacchaeus that he realized that he needed to do what was right, that And then even just doing the right thing isn't good enough. He needed to change, and it was heart that needed to be changed. So he demonstrates to Jesus that he gets it. He's not only willing to repent of his behavior, but to have a total change of his behavior, and he made restitution to those people he had wronged. So we need to emulate this kind of response from Zacchaeus. Maybe not to giving away our wealth or, you know, our savings, whatever the case may be. But we need to be like Zacchaeus in the sense that we need to own up to mistakes that we've committed. We need to realize that we may not be a mobster or a tax collector, but we're no less a sinner than Zacchaeus was. And so we need to be able to realize the different things that we've done wrong, the sins that we've committed, and realize that we need to recognize that and we need to repent. Zacchaeus saw a need for change in his life, and we are honor bound to do that as well. We need to be constantly reflecting upon ourselves. So the fourth thing then we notice about Zacchaeus is the most important. So if we backtrack up in the story and go back to verse 3, it says, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Despite being a lowly tax collector, he didn't shy away from someone who was telling people that they needed to make a change in their lives. At the very least, he had heard probably that he was preaching a different way of life, a different approach to God. He might not have been happy with the way his life had turned out, and maybe he saw Jesus as a way to help him get past where he was. And regardless of this mindset, all we know is that at the end of the day, he wanted to see Jesus and find out what he was preaching and teaching. If this man would not treat him as the rest of the world did, which was with contempt, but instead would this man give him some hope? And that is exactly what happened. And Zacchaeus' response was immediate. And we don't know how he lived his life from that point on. Many people, parable of the sower, the thin soil, they get on fire and they grow, but it fizzles out. We don't know what happened to Zacchaeus. I'd like to think that Zacchaeus, this moment of having Jesus into his home, could have had a tremendous impact on his life. And I'd like to think that he continued on. Because as Jesus states in the last verse, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that's why he went and met with Zacchaeus that day. And we can look and find ways that our lives could be better, just like Zacchaeus did, if we listen to what the Lord had to say. Brother Cliff has the prayer, and after that we will have our class.